This is Todd Sommerfeld. I'm a sales agronomist for CHS in Crookston, Minnesota. We are pleased to bring you the update from the Red River Farm Network, CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Whitney Pittman along with Randy Conan and Tyler Donaldson. Sugar beet growers from across the country are in D.C. to meet with congressional leaders. American Sugar Beet Growers Association CEO Luther Marquardt says the message will remain consistent as lawmakers work toward passing a farm bill.
This week as well as next week, going around to over 300 congressional offices, talking about how their costs have increased over the last few years, and that the safety net is inadequate, and we're going to need a stronger safety net going into the future. And frankly, we can do that by making sure that the program doesn't cost the taxpayer any money, as well as this is not going to add any cost to the consumer's pocketbook. Right now, we're kind of in an anomaly with world prices strengthening.
While sugar prices are strong, Marquardt says it's important to write policy based on more normal conditions.
The International Sugar Organization is projecting that we will have deficit production around the world, and so prices should remain strong. So that's positive news going into this year. But you don't write policy based on anomalies, and that's kind of what we have right now. So the message is going to be very clear to all these members of Congress. You need to strengthen the sugar safety net, and any attempts to weaken it have to be rejected.
Farm bill remains a top focus for the American Soybean Association coming into the new planting season. ASA board member Ronnie Russell says priorities have not changed.
And some of the priorities that we're looking for within that farm bill is obviously we want to make sure that we keep a good active crop insurance program in there, because that's one of the things that help us as farmers to sustain our operations. We also would like to see some changes within the ARC and PLC programs. As we know, in the previous administration, we had some issues with China, and those programs really didn't flag at that time, which is unfortunate. So we would like to see some way in which those programs maybe could flag in another future time, if there's something like that that happens again, rather than having some of those ad hoc payments that we got from the administration, which were certainly helpful during that time.
Trade and exports are other areas ASA will continue to focus on.
Right now, trade with China is down about 17% to 18%. And obviously, China is the number one buyer of American soybeans. And, you know, farmers can look out there at their rows of soybeans that they planted, and just in their mind, remember that one out of every three of those rows is being exported, and our biggest export market is China. And right now, the economy in China is not quite as good as it was a year ago, and as I stated, down about 17% to 18%. But we certainly want to make sure that we maintain that market. I know we're in some volatile times right now, and the ASA is doing all we can to support the markets around the world, but in particular with that market in China.
The Environmental Protection Agency is creating a new Office of Agriculture and Rural Affairs. EPA Administrator Michael Regan announced this new office at the Commodity Classic.
With the establishment of this new office, we will ensure agriculture and rural stakeholders have a continual seat at the table at EPA for many years to come.
Rod Snyder, who has been Regan's senior agriculture advisor for the last 2.5 years, will lead this new office. Snyder has firsthand experience in this region after participating in North Dakota Grain Growers Association eTOR in 2022.
The latest Conservation Reserve Program general sign-up is underway through March 29th. Farm Service Agency Administrator Zach Ducheneau announced the enrollment this morning at the National Pheasant Fest in Sioux Falls. Landowners enrolled 926,000 acres in the same program last year, bringing the total enrolled acres for the general CRP to 7.78 million. Combined with the grassland and continuous CRP, there are 24.8 million acres in the program.
Very little snow melt is expected through Friday when warmer temperatures occur across the northern plains. World Weather Incorporated says a small disturbance will bring 1 to 4 inches of snow, mainly to North Dakota and northwestern Minnesota, on Wednesday. World Weather says another snow event is possible March 13th through the 15th.
The Midwest will see three rounds of precipitation during the next 2 weeks, keeping soil moisture adequate in much of the eastern Corn Belt and Wisconsin. World Weather Incorporated says the west central and northwestern Corn Belt will be drier, with areas from eastern South Dakota and eastern Nebraska to Iowa remaining in greater need for rain.
The American Carbon Alliance says it stands in strong support of the announcement that Summit Carbon Solutions and Valero are partnering to add Valero ethanol plants to the Summit Carbon Pipeline. American Carbon Alliance CEO Tom Bias commends the company's unwavering commitment to significantly amplifying sustainability in the ag and energy sectors.
Early adopters were left out in the original versions of the carbon management programs. Truterra Director of Field Services Mariah Murphy says that has changed.
We're really excited to be among the first people to bring forward a program that is available for long-term adopters. And so if you have been looking at carbon programs previously and you're thinking to yourself, well, you know, I don't fit, good news, we can take just about anyone for these programs now.
Why the change?
You know, just as the industry continues to evolve, we've started looking at new ways that these downstream customers can claim Scope 3. And so that's really evolving the model as well. And this is certainly part of it. And so we've found a way to make this work.
2023 was a big year for the Truterra program.
We are happy to announce that we've brought forward more money to farmers than we ever have. We have, you know, almost doubled our tonnage from what we've had previously. Our acre enrollments are up, and into 24, we're seeing that gap continue to expand. We're seeing more enrollments quicker than we ever have.
There's a simple online enrollment process on Truterra's website. Get the latest news and weather updates anytime by listening to the Red River Farm Network podcast. You can find those at rrfn.com and anywhere you get your podcasts. Reporting agriculture's business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. RCM Ag Services market analyst Steve Wagner says traders are beginning to cover some of their short positions.
You know, they tested it Friday, pushed it Friday, but it bounced back nicely this morning, and I think that's a big part of it. We're in delivery, March delivery, and I don't see anybody rushing to get corn delivered at 412 or 418, I should say. It is not going to be a moonshot higher, but we are going to trade that way, probably two steps forward, one step back.
USDA's weekly export inspections report for the week ending February 29th shows corn inspected for export of 1.08 million metric tons. That is 16% less than the previous week, but 15% more than the same week a year ago. Soybean inspections came in at 1.02 million tons, down 3% from the previous week, but 85% more than the same week last year. Wheat inspections of 353 million metric tons are 27% less than the previous week, but 4% more than a year ago. For the marketing year, corn inspections are running 34% ahead of last year's pace. Soybean inspections are 20% less than a year ago, and wheat inspections are 17% behind last year's pace.
Bauer Trading President Jim Bauer thinks the livestock markets are bumping against overhead resistance.
The feeder cattle continue to chop around. It still seems to me like we're running into resistance when the market gets up there towards those contract high. It seems like they're kind of backing away from it. Although, and the feedlots are relatively full, but the rest of the inventory is pretty tight. So I don't think the story in beef and pork is over yet.
John Deere has announced the arrival of two new product lines of tractors and air carts. The new high-horsepower 9RX tractor line is autonomous-ready and, according to Tractor's marketing manager Michael Porter, features state-of-the-art technologies and engineering without the diesel exhaust fluids of past models.
So we're introducing a 710, a 770, and an 830 horsepower tractor. So these tractors come packed with a lot of technology. We're also excited to introduce that they're autonomy ready. So tractors have all the harnessing and controllers to do future autonomous production with really just a vision or perception system. And These machines are really ground up redesigned with new high horsepower, high hydraulic flow, and new transmission. So powered by a JD18 engine that gets us up to 913 horsepower, all while doing that by hitting Tier 4 emissions without diesel exhaust fluid.
Also announced were the new C-Series of air carts that John Deere marketing manager Austin Hunt says can help lower acreage farmers as well as the larger operations with precision seeding.
So this is a new air cart lineup all the way from 350 bushel up to 850 bushel. And it's really enabling a lot more precise seeding while also lowering your maintenance cost. So we have our new Accurate stainless steel electric meters that are going to be fully corrosion resistant while also being electrically driven. We also have a new way to calibrate. So we're going to be increasing that productivity, but with the new EasyCal system. It's a way we can calibrate from the cab that has an automated built-in tank scale that really weighs how much product was metered through and then sends that new meter displacement value right up to the cab.
North Dakota soybean producers are expected to see a significant boost with the opening of three new crush facilities. United Soybean Board Communication and Education Chair Matt Gast sees excess soybean meal providing more options and opportunities for American-produced soybeans.
That dynamic's really going to change here with these crush facilities coming online. It's giving added value to U.S. soybeans. There's going to be a lot of meal with the soybean being 80% meal, 20% oil. And so we really got to find avenues to get that meal out. I know with some partners we're working with to look at rations for feed in the animal egg industry. I know there's a firefighter foam that's made using meal. So we're trying to find things that we can utilize that excess meal with and to, you know, really, really keep the value of the U.S. soybean as high as we can.
Soybean oil is already replacing petroleum in many products today.
With the biofuels, you got the sustainable aviation fuels. That's another market that continues to take off. And so we really just need to continue focusing on things like that, as well as our outside markets and building new things. You know, we got Goodyear tires. You know, a lot of things with petroleum are being replaced by soybean oil. You know, Skechers shoes has it in there. You can get plywood from Home Depot that's got soy-based, as well as Sinlon turf. So there's all kinds of uses. You know, there's uses in everybody's life that they didn't realize has soy in it.
This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The Mosaic Company has expanded its catalog with two new biological products, BioPath and PowerCoat. Mosaic Senior Technical Sales Manager Sherry Cooks is adding these products into a producer's fertilizer rotation will help with sustainability efforts and the bottom line.
Being a fertilizer company, it's something that we can add to either liquid fertilizer, which is BioPath, or PowerCoat, which we can impregnate onto dry fertilizer. And so we're all about creating that advanced crop nutrition. So not only do we have proprietary products, phosphate and potash products that have multiple nutrients in every granule, but now we can also add that second component of the biological side. So we go from a balanced crop nutrition to that advanced crop nutrition. And so now we're trying to keep the growers more sustainable, get the best bang for their buck when it comes to fertilizer and what they're putting out there. And our ultimate goal is to have a successful 24 and to increase our yields.
Taking a look at markets before we leave you, Minneapolis, May wheat currently 16 and a quarter higher at 660. September 15 and a quarter higher at 669 and three quarters. Chicago wheat 5 and 3 quarters higher at 563 and a half. Kansas City 14 and a half higher at 579. May corn futures trading 4 and 3 quarters higher at 429 and a half. July 4 and 3 quarters higher as well at 441. December corn 3 and a quarter higher at 462 and a half. Soybeans May futures 3 and a quarter higher at 1154 and a half. August soybeans 4.5 higher at 1161 and 3 quarters. November soybeans 4 and 3 quarters higher at 1144 and a half. Soybean meal $1.20 a ton higher at $333.50. Canola in Winnipeg $3.50 a metric ton higher at $594.30 Canadian. Live cattle April futures down $1.57 a hundredweight at $186.87. June live cattle down $1.35 at $182.65. August live cattle 77 cents lower at $181.92. Feeder cattle March futures down $1.67 at $251.30. April feeders down 232 at 255.67. April lean hogs down $1.67. This is the Red River Farm Network.